Donald Fagen of Steely Dan has a new solo album, Morph the Cat. The Cafe's Dan Reed had a chance to sit down and talk with him. Dan asked if Fagen's three solo albums could be seen as a trilogy.
Yeah, well, I didn't maybe start out that way, but The Nightfly, which came out maybe 82, really looked at the world from a vantage point of maybe someone in early adolescence, although I was actually 30-something when I made it. In 93, Comicariad, although on the surface was kind of science fiction, the framing was science fiction. It was actually about midlife, which was where I was at the time. And then this album, Morph the Cat, is more about the endings of life. I'm 58 now, and I feel fine, actually, but it's, you know, just more about where I am now. You know, I guess when I made Comicariad, I was thinking, well, it seems to be autobiographical, generally speaking, what I'm doing here, so I might as well make it a trilogy.
After listening to Morph, it does have sort of a underlying sort of doom and gloom vibe to it. Now, was that a conscious decision, or did it just sort of emerge that way as you wrote it?
I don't think it was doom and gloom. It's to me, it's just realistic about, you know, when you're getting up near 60, you know, you start thinking about mortality. And, you know, my mother died a couple of years ago. And I think also the fact that I'm a New Yorker and, you know, was here during 9/11 and all that definitely had, you know, an influence on the kinds of songs I started writing.
Now, you've been married to songwriter Libby Titus. I guess it's been over a decade now.
It's been 15 years.
Right. How is it living with another songwriter? And does she often comment on your work as you're working on it?
Actually, she's been very helpful to me. I mean, you know, sometimes she'll say that sucks, or you know.
Yeah.
But that's also been helpful.
Sometimes that is.
Because she's usually right.
How does that differ from the feedback from your other partner, Walter Becker of Steely Dan? Do you guys?
It's actually very similar. He says that sucks too.
He does too.
Sometimes.
Good. I was wondering, do you guys listen to each other's solo work and talk about it a lot?
Actually, no. As far as solo work is, that's pretty much separate. You know, Walter helped me on my second album, Comicariad, right. But he came in after it was written. And same thing with his album, 11 Tracks of Whack. I came in after the things were written. I was just really trying to help him achieve what he wanted to. So it's really, I don't really interfere in what he's doing.
Have you heard, he's working on a solo album as well. Have you heard
any
of that?
He is. No.
Nothing else
yet.
What is it too soon to speculate about the future of Steely Dan and your collaboration with Walter?
Well, I'm going out with my own band for the first time in March, and probably tours in the summer as well. But towards the end of the summer, we're thinking of hooking up and doing some Steely Dan gigs as well. And you know, who knows? After that, we might record. It's hard to say.
I really enjoyed the song Security Joan on the new album, and right from the beginning, it sort of hit me as like, okay, here comes the storytelling Donald Fagen. It reminded me a lot of the setup for Cousin Dupree from the Steely Dan album Two Against Nature, as you're telling a story. On the surface, it seems like a sort of a lighthearted song about hassle at security at LaGuardia Airport, I think it is.
Mm-hmm.
Is there also more behind that, Donald? The whole
rigmarole of going
through security and the checkpoints now?
It definitely takes place in a post 9/11 world, but I think, like a lot of things about the world now, you have to have a sense of humor to get through it. You know, I think it can be so anxiety provoking and boring to go through security. I think you'd start looking around for an escape, and in this case, it takes the form of a really cute security sweeper.
Whose name is Joan, and this is Security Joan from Morph the Cat on the World Cafe.
Well, I guess I needed a miracle if I was gonna make my flight. I had to get the gate to C-13, and it was still way out of sight. Something in my carry-on bag picked off.
new album from Donald Fagen is called Morph the Cat. That is a tune called Security Joan, about getting through the airports safely. Do you feel that your lifelong appreciation for jazz still informs the way that you write your music and compose your music?
Yeah, sure. Not only musically too. I think, you know, of course, I use the language of jazz. That is to say, the jazz harmony, which is, the harmonic language that I use, is pretty much the same as mainstream jazz, pretty much. And but also, I think in the lyrics and the kind of humor I use is a kind of jazz musician's humor. I think, just from being a jazz fan and hanging out with musicians and being a musician myself, I think that. The sort of general texture of the language and of the humor is the kind of things that make musicians laugh.
Sort of highly ironic in a lot of ways.
Well, yeah, it's there's a kind of it's hard for me to really explain, but when musicians tell jokes, a lot of them, a lot of civilians, as they say, don't really get them sometimes, and maybe they don't have a really obvious punchline, but musicians seem to find them really funny,
Is of course, a big part of jazz has always been instrumental improv, and is that still part of the recording process for you, or when you go in to record, do you have the arrangements pretty well set up?
Yeah, for quite a few years now, everything's charted out for the most part. There's some things that musicians can elaborate on. That the guitar parts usually aren't written out that completely, so there's some room to come up with parts and stuff like that. But generally speaking, the keyboard parts, sometimes the bass parts and so on are written out, and the structure is almost always pretty much thought out before I go in.
You mentioned that your tour starts in March. Mm-hmm. And I read somewhere where this is like your first solo tour since high school or something like that.
Well, I didn't tour in high school. It's my first band I've had under my own name since high school.
Right.
Which was, you've heard of the Don Fagen Trio, right?
I have now, yes. I have now.
Well, that was my high school band.
Was it a jazz band?
Yeah, it was just a trio, yeah.
Do you guys do your own songs, or did you do like Coltrane songs and...
Actually, we played only once or twice that I remember. It was like, I remember playing for some assembly when they had what they used to call a hootenanny.
And
yes. Because folk music was the rage. And so they wanted me to play, but, I had a jazz trio. So I remember arranging a couple folk songs for a jazz trio.
Folk songs for jazz. Oh, interesting. The Dave Van Ronk type of thing.
Well, the only folk songs I knew were, I think one was Barbara Ann and one was like a Joan Baez song or
right.
Something. So I just, that's what I did.
What I Do is another standout on this album that it's actually some advice from Brother Ray, from Brother Ray Charles.
It is, from the ghost of Ray Charles,
the
actually.
The ghost
yeah.
of Ray Charles you channeled, and you said
he
this
gives
is...
you some love advice.
If you want the sugar to pour, yes, he does.
Exactly.
Indeed.
Yeah.
And you said this was sort of a conversation between you and a younger version of Ray Charles, and... I also read where you feel like now, the whole thing about this song, It's What I Do, you're more comfortable with what you do now. I think I read where you felt like you were sort of in a fake profession for a long time, and you're more comfortable with your role now as a songwriter and performer.
Yeah, I think that's basically true. I think, for a long time, I think it has to do with maybe my generation or subculture or something. Like I think, a lot of the, late 60s, a lot of the 60s generation, at least, where I come from, it was kind of, a lot of it was getting away from having some sort of essence, like being defined by your work, or getting away from the roles that were prescribed, in the 50s and in society in general. So the problem is that it had kind of backfired in a way, because you found yourself as you approached midlife with a kind of not really feeling comfortable in your whatever job you ended up with, And so I think it's only recently where I, finally say, well, what am I? I am a musician, and that's what I do, and I'm good at it now, and so on.
And here's his advice from Brother Ray. This is What I Do, Donald Fagen on the World Cafe.
I say, Ray, why do girls treat you nice that way? He said, it's not
tune from Morph the Cat on the World Cafe from Donald Fagen, who's speaking with us today. That's called What I Do. We were talking earlier about growing up in this business, and you know, rock and roll is still a very, very young medium, and you have been involved in this medium for most of the rock and roll, as long as rock and roll has been around in one way or another. Can it mature successfully? And the second part of the question is, just as someone who keeps an eye on and an ear on what's going on in music, what are your general impressions of what's happening now on the radio and maybe in videos?
Well, I don't know if I do keep that much of an eye on what's going on now. I know that I think you're right that you don't know what's going to happen. You know, some people think that rock and roll or beat music, whatever you want to call it, is kind of played out. But that's not necessarily so. I think if radio opens up a little bit more, and if there's a little more freedom in programming and for artists to develop in a more open way, anything could happen, really. I saw the Rolling Stones the other day and live, and on one hand you say, well, there's something blocking their maturing because they still have this sort of adolescent stance, and all their songs are still about these adolescent concerns and so on. And you know, these guys are in their 60s, but in a funny way, just the fact that they're out there playing, the fact that they've figured out a way to live and work in the context of being, you know, a rock and roll band, that in itself shows a kind of maturity. And you know, they've figured out how to survive, you know, and these are the last guys you'd think would have, you know, still be working in a funny way if you remember them from when they first started, and you know, all this troubles
right.
They've had. You know, you never know what's going to happen, and they were fantastic, actually.
Well, you know, it's interesting that, you know, I mean, it seems like that jazz, people who play jazz for a living, it doesn't really matter what age they are, if their chops are still up and they still have the soul to bring it off. And I guess it's the same thing when it comes to a rock band, I would imagine.
Yeah, sure. And, you know, I think actually Mick Jagger's given himself a very difficult task, because he seems to, he's set this you know, precedent where he's got to, like, be jumping around and moving around so much. And
amazing.
I mean, you know, it's such a tough job. You know, I'm glad I didn't have to do that. You know?
Me too. He's in great shape.
Yeah.
The album, the new album, also has some underlying political content. And, you know, it's interesting, preparing to talk to you today, Donald, I went back and listened to a lot of your older solo stuff and also Steely Dan stuff. And you've always had that sort of underneath the surface. Do you write these songs just basically to express yourself, or do you want your audience to discover these little messages perhaps you have underneath the surface, something for folks listening to decipher?
No, you know, I'm not like writing code or anything like
right,
that.
Right.
It's, I don't think any kind of overt lecturing or, you know, politicizing is good art. You know, it's kind of just doesn't feel right to me. I don't think, you know, there's a lot of things I'm not sure of. Like, I'm always, ambiguous about stuff. You know, it's not like I think I know what's going on all the time, but I have these feelings about stuff that I put in the songs, and hopefully it comes through to people.
Well, on Mary Shut the Garden Door, you write on the liner notes, paranoia blooms when a thuggish cult gains control of the government. I guess that doesn't take too much deciphering to figure out.
Well, you know, that's just kind of a 1984 atmosphere to
yes.
that song, and people can draw their own conclusions. You know, I think to me, any sentient being, you know, person who's living, you know, anyone who really looks at the situation today can really see what's going on. I mean, you have an enemy who's we have every right to be fearful of, and on the other hand, you don't want the government to take that as an opportunity to deprive people of their rights. So, you know, you have to. There's a balance that has to be maintained.
This is Mary Shut the Garden Door from Donald Fagen on the World Cafe.
They
when our backs were turned around in a fleet of Lincoln Town cars. They rode to our town, found it all six senses like an opiate in the brain. The Mary shut the garden door, looked a lot like rain. Mary shut the garden door. Nothing on but static, nothing in the fridge. We lay there listening to the wind whistling through the pines. When we heard the engines idling, saw the headlights through the blinds. Mary shut the garden door.
Mary Shut the Garden Door from Donald Fagen's new Morph the Cat. And our thanks to Mr. Fagen and to Dan Reed for a great session today. You can download World Cafe Words and Music as a podcast. That's an audio file delivered to your computer or MP3 audio player each week. Simply visit your favorite podcast directory or npr.org and click on NPR Podcasts to learn how to subscribe. We'll be back in a moment here on the World Cafe.